Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Welcome once more to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. Dan Casey here in the hot seat. After all the shenanigans last week and a few contract negotiations, I've been promoted from super sub to host. Cork tried it against Limerick last year in the hurling with Shane Kingston. It didn't go too well, so hopefully I'll fare a bit better on this occasion myself. I'm incredibly delighted to be joined by two men who need absolutely no introduction to the GAA Hour. Niall McIntyre, how are you, sir?
I'm all good, Dan. Looking forward to the show.
Me, I'm good too, yeah. Just introduced Niall. Yeah. Yeah. You looked at me and I was like I'm assuming he's going to ask.
You were out last week with injury, you were.
I was, yeah. I'm more injured now. I'm hobbling around at the studio here, but yeah, well, I'll survive.
What happened to you yesterday? Were you playing a match?
I was, yeah. We were playing first match of the league. Couple of minutes left. I took a boot to the leg and now I've got an ankle that looks like it's pregnant.
did your man get punished for it?
No, he did not. And it's an injustice that I want the GAR to investigate.
So we're talking about it, yeah, here now.
And we'll take it to the match officials and the authorities above.
I think Gerard Burns, we'll talk a bit about him later, but he's a man we should be getting on to.
I assume so, yeah. I'm going straight to him. Straight to the top.
A few notes to tidy up from last week. Well, he thought there'd be no hurling on the pod this week. Well, I'm here to dispel any such rumours. The camera lens I'm looking down here now, Kilkenny fans absolutely stink. 3,500 for their game against Offaly. Nolan Park, more like no fucker in the place, Park. Hurling County, my hole. How can you lodge yourselves as the hurling county with shitty ass attendances like that? The players deserve far better. And the only hurling they're known for now is lads from Roscommon on a stag hurling sick into a bin outside Langton's. In the article as well that I read, it said it was a large Offaly contingent of that 3,500. I was at the last two semi-finals for them against Clare, and each time Clare outnumbered them in Croker 3-1. Similar size population, Clare doubled the distance from Dublin. Some Kilkenny fans had to travel an hour, could you believe it? The horror, the absolute horror of it. Come the final then, the Cats, as always, will have their paws out like some Industrial Revolution chimney sweep looking for a ticket. Like, please, sir, can I have some more? With all their notions of All-Ireland contention, they have to be the worst supported team in the country. Fair enough if they're from a county where there's actually more things to do. At least, you know, Clare might have an excuse of looking at a few rocks or something like that. They're saying online then, mind your own house, like, all right, Don Lug. That 9 years in Kilkenny seems to be hurting a lot more than the 19 in Cork. Niall, what do you reckon about the Kilkenny fans?
Wow, it's a bit of an attack on the poor Kilkenny fans.
They deserve it.
Starting off here, I think they've been spoiled through the early how many All-Ireland finals were they in between 2000 and 2015? Well, like, they're still in All-Ireland finals nearly. They've been there the last 2 years. But they definitely were spoiled between the time when they got the four in a row, 2006 to 2009. They were there every year, so they're just so used to Getting to finals.
That's a long time ago now.
Yeah. Like, I suppose they're still very used to getting the finals. And they're just...
Because Leinster's a piece of piss.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say a piece of piss now.
It's not far off. It's going to be them, Galway, and then Dublin or Wexford, basically, yeah, guaranteed every single year.
Yeah. It's just... It's harsh to kind of criticise the Leinster Championship when the last few years have been two Leinster, two Munster, and they'll say that they're doing as well as the Munster. And I know the Munster is more competitive and that there's more teams there, but Kilkenny and Galway have flown the flag there. But I think it is. I think they're just kind of spoiled and they're like, semi-finals, nah, we don't bother with this.
They were never that great, though, I don't think.
To support, like?
Yeah, it was only the final they ever showed up.
Yeah.
There's a nice old continuation of that now for the hurling county that they keep lauding themselves as. I think it's a bit of a joke.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just like they just don't they don't get out of bed for these semi-finals. That's their thing. Like it's maybe people might think it's arrogance, like, or they just believe they're going to get to the final. Like,
well, Cork fans are the worst as in most arrogant, I will admit and I will say. Mm. But Kilkenny fans are just the worst because they don't exist.
Yeah. I'm sure they're supporting at home. They're like, we would have come up against them as a Tipperary person, like, in a good few finals, like 2010 and 2009, like 2014, 2006, 2014, 10 and 9 were probably the three best finals I can ever remember. And, you know, they'd be very competitive, Kilkenny fans, like, and you could see yourself even getting into rows with them in the stadium. Like, that's kind of the
type. Sure, what good is it if you're not going to the league? There was, I'd say, nearly more in Turner's Cross Friday night for Cork City UCD than in Nolan Park before. Like,
they probably expected themselves to give Offaly, because Offaly haven't been competitive for a good while, that they give them a bit of a clipping. But Offaly are clearly on the rise now as well.
We chatted a small bit about jerseys as well last week, Niall, and we kind of got into it without really getting into it, and I think there was an opportunity there for more shouts to be made. So we're going ranking our top three favourite inter-county jerseys of 2024. Third place, Lee, we'll start with you here.
Yeah, third place, I went with Monaghan goalkeeper. I think Monaghan normally have nice jerseys when you got sort of mostly blue. I think they're like a royal blue kind of colour and a bit of white. It's usually nice, but I don't like their home jersey at the minute, but a big fan of the
I think the sponsor black ruins even the goalkeeper one.
It does its best to. No, I'll give it that. Like, but and you're always just seeing Began, I know not this season, but he's like an iconic figure bursting out with that all black on. I like the modern goalkeeper jersey now.
The sponsor isn't actually red on the goalkeeper jersey, so it's actually all right. I actually have it here. It saves it, like, because the red on the home jersey. I love the Monaghan jersey.
It's like a random splash. Yeah,
it's not working.
Niall, what did you go with here for your third?
For number three, you went with Dublin. It's actually it's very safe, but like the Dublin jersey is always lovely.
And where are you living?
I wouldn't wear it.
I think that's a poor shout for third.
Really?
Out of all the
countries. Do you not
jerseys,
like it? Like,
I like it, but it's not.
You can't have emotions in this. Like, this is, I'm talking about jerseys and how nice they are, and I don't think I'd wear the Dublin one just because it's Dublin, like, but I do like the jersey.
Scandalous shout. I've gone with a classic, Clare home. It'll never change too much, but I think they've got it nice this year. And that Pat O'Donnell sponsor as well is just always make. We're on about sponsors making or breaking jerseys. I think this one just makes or breaks it for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, to be fair.
It is a beauty, Pat O'Donnell. Yeah. I've always liked the Clare one. I thought it was a bit nicer a few years back. It was kind of lighter yellow, but... I was just saying to Lee earlier, all these kind of designs and, you know, the little dots and there's so many things going on in a lot of the jerseys now that I actually found it hard to pick a top three.
We'll go to second. Lee, what's your...
I went with the Galway home jersey, much like yourself. You were saying about how it doesn't change too much. I always like that maroon kind of colour. They're always super max and they don't seem to... You know, it's like it's just with it, you know. I've always liked the Galway jersey and his son. It's just a county that's never annoyed me. You know, as a Tyrone man, we've never had too many run-ins. We meet them sometimes later on in the field. And I think Galway have a great record against Ulster teams, so they probably should. But no, they haven't annoyed me. I like the colour and I'm going with it.
Like Super X.
And I love Super X. Yeah.
It's funny how it's all emotion. Like, if you don't like the county, you're like, a jersey, nah.
Like, I never liked red.
Colour sound, like I'll wear that.
Wait, get to your top one.
My second one was Loud Away. Mm. I think it's a beauty. Stat Sports are the sponsor. Goes well. Probably not on Pat O'Donnell levels, but...
I thought the away one now was the white, but it's actually the black one.
Yeah, black and red.
It is gorgeous.
Peach, yeah.
It is gorgeous. There's another black and red jersey out there, I think is a nice one as well, but we'll come to that.
No, I'm it.
For my second place pick, I've gone Mayo home. It's actually the same design as the Clare one. And again, Elvery's never going to deviate too much. You know what you're getting. Lovely shade of green, lovely shade of red, I think. This one is very near perfection, if not perfection itself.
I think the green is too dark. I used to love that Mayo. You know, the light green, Elvery's one, can picture Kieran McDonald. Yeah. The green is too dark for me.
No, I love the dark green. And the Kerry jersey as well, the dark green as well. Suits I wait that. For that over, yeah. Over the light one.
I like the Mayo one. I think it was like 2012, 13. Like when Aidan O'Shea was just coming onto the scene, there were always photos of him wearing it. And it was like a stripe. It sort of went across the jersey, the red did. Like a line nearly, right. But it was mostly green. I think it was nice, and I hope I got the year right. But to me, yeah, that's I don't. I'm not too much going on with that. This current Mayo jersey,
yeah,
too patterny or something.
Lee, we'll go to your top. Yes, show here.
Top. Yeah, I went with a down away jersey. It's like a light sky blue, pretty plain. They've had this sponsor now a long time too, so it doesn't seem to upset it too much. And it's like black at the shoulders. I just love the color.
I much for the home one.
No, I don't know. I'm nah.
Away one's shite.
No, I like it. Away one. I light blue is a calming effect on me. It's like the opposite effect that you have on me.
You're up to last.
Well, yeah. So I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm going for Waterford. I really struggled to pick.
It wasn't even released yet, is it?
Three jerseys. Well, they're wearing one with no sponsor at the minute. I think they're...
The Shure Engineering one.
I've seen that one, yeah. That actually looked tidy enough. But I kind of like the one with no sponsor. You know, it's a bit of a sort of a classy touch when there's no sponsor. And my club is blue and white. Blue and white are my two favourite colours for a jersey. And like, you look at the Laois, the Monaghan, they're the two blue and white counties and they just don't have nice jerseys.
And Cavan is nice.
Cavan as well. And I don't like them. I don't like the Laois Hire sponsor. I don't think it goes too well with it. And the Cavan
one, you're not going to get much wear out of the Waterford one. They're going to do nothing in the football and they're going to be gone early in the Munster. You're only going to have till March or April or May to wear it.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's the kind of jersey you want though. Like, you're not bothering anyone by wearing it, you know. You get abuse if you wear a travel one. Yeah.
We're knocking Waterford too much here. Yeah. They're a decent county.
We're coming to my favourite jersey and I actually have it here. It's been criticised heavily online, but it is.
Yeah.
The Cork Trade top. What do you reckon of this? I think it's fantastic.
It looks like a child threw paint at a black canvas.
What?
That's what it looks like, yeah. And a black canvas that Sports Direct made.
Maybe like a Picasso or something. A bit abstract, as we were saying. Like, no, you're not a fan, no?
It's abstract. I actually think I had the same opinion. Yeah, the red and just someone throwing a bit of paint at black, but... I don't mind it on its own. If you had a pair of white shorts with that now...
Or black shorts, plain. I wouldn't mind that.
The Cork training top, it's kind of been it's been out the last two times with the hurlers and footballers.
Yeah.
Do you think the white shorts would have made it? Or does it just have something against the jersey itself?
No, the shorts make it look mental, to be fair. It looks like it's all connected and that they're not wearing shorts at all, just really long tops. I think it's bizarre, to be fair.
Feel that.
I don't know.
What's made of? All Ireland woolen material there.
No, lad, I'm from Tyrone. We don't need an extra large.
That's what a player fit as well.
It's a player fit.
That's extra large boys, actually. Just have to show off the guns, you know.
I thought you were going to wear that, man.
Yeah, throw it on. You love it so much.
You not go for it, like.
Let's do it.
Throw it on.
Our listeners are getting
sorry. <hear this. laughs> Sorry.
The sound of someone putting on a Cork jersey.
Lads, I can barely squeeze into it. Like,
yeah, maybe shouldn't have said the size out loud.
Should I send this back for a double XL? I'd say soon enough. Ah, look at that. It's a mighty jersey.
On you, like,
it's a mighty jersey.
Yeah.
It's like a babe nearly almost.
I have no words. I don't know what to say.
Will we get stuck in some action talk?
Yeah. Football was on, I think.
What's the football like? Yeah. Right, we'll start with the big one. Derry 1-11. Dublin 1-16. Lee, is this a dry run of the All-Ireland final or is it far too early to tell yet?
I think it's too early to tell yet, yeah. Like, I mean, Derry have been the informed team in the league. I do think they're All-Ireland contenders. I think they're brilliant. They played sort of a weakened team, if you can call it that, against Dublin. Mickey Hart's maybe playing possum at the minute, you know, resting players, not looking to give too much away because he knows he's likely to meet them in the league final. And then obviously the Ulster Championship's such a tough run in. So now maybe is the time to start tapering players off, like your Conor Glasses and things, and go at it later in the season. But for me, Dublin and Kerry are still the two top dogs.
I suppose on Hart's comments afterwards, talking about Dublin are the best, and hopefully, you know, Derry are going to learn from that. And do you think that's poor reflection? Would any other intercounty manager say that? I'm not particularly sure they would.
Yeah, no, I do. It is a strange one, like, because Hart's always been like a real proud sort of man. So he's a proud Tyrone man, so and maybe he talks about Derry differently. But it is a strange one. I would never hear him saying talking like that, because like Dublin went there with the full expectation that they were going to come up against a team that'd be contending for an All-Ireland. You know, the fans went there fully believing that they could beat this Dublin team, but it seems like, you know, going by Mickey Hart's comments, that they didn't think that. But I, you know, which doesn't really, like, I don't believe that. You know, I do think he's playing possum. I think they deliberately played a sort of weakened team, try to see what Dublin are about and meet them again in the league final when it matters most to them.
And there was an absolutely huge crowd in Celtic Park. Do you think they were slightly let down by the team he put out?
I think so, yeah. Well, like, people would have been really looking forward to Conor Glasby, Brian Fenton. Like, that's you know, the two midfield colossals of our age, nearly, you know. So just to see them, not getting to see that matchup, and then Conor Glass not featuring at all. Ethan Doherty was on the bench as well. Owen McAvoy was on the bench. You know, like, when you're dropping players like that who you know are going to be starting in the big games, then you know he's sending out a message. But because he made so many changes, I think it was six in the end in the starting lineup, I felt sorry for the likes of like Eunan Mulholland, who was getting his full debut in a Derry jersey, because he wasn't really getting the real reflection of it, because normally he'd be drafted into the team, you know, that's set in their ways and knows the structure and everything. But if you're thrown in with six other new people, then, you know, it's a lot of changes, yeah, and things will collapse a little bit easier or whatever. So I just hope that anyone, and the likes of Cormac Murphy and Lachlan Murray as well, you know, they'd be on a similar boat. I hope it sort of didn't ruin their chances as such, you know, and they get another fair shake at it.
Niall, we were drinking from the bottle. We had no glass. Disappointed not to see him.
Yes, nice segue. Disappointed not to see him, yeah, because I suppose it was, like, you were reading articles during the week and it was... you know, we're going to see Fenton against Glass here. I do think it was a kind of a case of that part, especially with those post-match comments that he was trying to build Dublin up. And Derry have been getting a lot of praise that he's kind of trying to maybe temper that a small bit. He wouldn't want to lose with the full team. You know, it might have been, yeah, a bit of a dampener then as well. And especially when they will have another opportunity. So I'd say something like that. But definitely, any day you don't see Conor Glass, you obviously love to see him play. And like Brian Fenton, lads, that was just the second half performance he put in was just...
Yeah. There was one point there he got and nearly gave me a horn. Like,
honestly, right, that one, yeah. Like he's just... And I read a stat that Maurice Brosnan has. He's played every single league and championship game under Desi Farrell. Missed 15 minutes of 53 games. Like, he's never injured.
No.
Lads. He can kind of jog past lads as well. Like, yeah. He's just...
And you think about players like James McCarthy, Stephen Cluxon, you know, the players that they rest during the league and they'll bring them back in, you know, in the championship when they're like, oh, that's when it matters most or whatever. But Desi Farrell is so reliant on Brian Fenton, he won't even... And he's so crucial to the team, he won't even move him during the league. You know, he's like, as long as Brian Fenton's there, like, then the nucleus of a strong team is there, and you can just sort of fill out the rest nearly. Like, that is how important he is.
Yeah, it feels like Verstappen in the F1. It's like the season's already over. Give Dublin the trophy now. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree with you, but you know, I still think Kerry have a lot more to say this season. Jack O'Connor's brilliant at... When he loses an All-Ireland final, coming back the next year sort of revigored, and I think he's doing all the right things with Kerry and getting unearthing new players and new positions. And when you've got the Clifford, you're always in with a swinging chance, and you can't rule out Derry either, because the Derry team we've seen at the weekend, you know, that wasn't the real Derry. So we'll find out a little bit more on it, but Dublin are certainly favourites.
Do you think Glass will be enough to make up that four point gap? I mean, Dublin probably should have won by a bit more, I would think, in the end.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, you would think how important was Brian Fenton going forward in that game, and then his job would be to nullify him, and even if he was to, you know, take out half of that performance, like, yeah, it would have played such a big difference. Yeah, and like his partnership with Brendan Rodgers in midfield, Emmett Bradley drifted in. I think he got 2 points. He did really well. But, you know, when you have a partnership and you break that up, it can sort of ruin the rhythm a little bit. And Ethan Doherty was Young Footballer of the Year last year. He didn't start. These are all so huge.
Well, yeah, McGrogan. Owen McAvoy. Yeah. Niall Loughlin, Paul Cassidy. So did.
Like, Niall Loughlin, there's a player that's played every minute, you know, yeah. Like Sigerson and everything. Like, he takes a lot of the responsibility. So taking him out of the team, I'd say the rest of the players, it'd be very noticeable.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes you can kind of think when a team's going so well in the league, you're like, oh, they're going to win the All-Ireland. Yeah. Especially when it's Dublin. But then, like, we've seen
it. Mayo's, we learned to take no notes.
Exactly. Like, yeah. So sometimes it's such a long season, it can be hard to keep it up. Like,
but Dublin, I suppose, they showed now against Kerry they can go toe-to-toe with the most attacking team in the country. And then Derry up against one of the most defensive. So they can do it all, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that was Dublin at their best, I thought. Yeah. They obviously had kind of a full team out. And, like, we know Derry are so hard to play against, especially when they're as defensive as they were. But Dublin, the way they were getting these, they were just running through them, and the passes, the little dinks, and
even the hand pass, they make hand pass enjoyable.
It was so slick, like going through little tight corners, no bother to them. And we talked about Kilkenny last week. He's similar to Fenton in that he's never injured, and he's just an unbelievable form.
I won't have to go off of that Kilkenny yet. that McCluskey goal really brought Derry back into it. Or you saw, you thought, you know, Small went napping a small bit. A great goal for a cornerback to take, in fairness. But like, you thought, this is it now. Derry are going to come back into this one. But the Dubs just didn't look phased at all.
No, you know, Derry, like, it's just what they do. If there's going to be a goal in a Derry match, it's either a Shane McGuigan penalty or a goal from one of the defenders. It's just the way it is. They think they got 3 2 weeks ago or last week. Against Galway, maybe. But it was all of the defenders that got the goals. I think McCluskey was on that as well. Conor Doherty and the likes. You know, they love coming in from deep, sprinting with like everything they got, getting on the ball and then just roofing it into the back of the net. So it's no surprise at all. It's a very hard thing to defend. And it definitely gave the Celtic Park a bit of a lift and a cheer. And like, here we go now.
Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah. And to be fair to Hart, like he did, I think he brought Doherty on at halftime. He was making changes fairly quick then, and Shane McGuigan was seriously on form too. He wasn't happy with the idea of like, we're taking a loss here, you know. He's like, if we're playing Dublin, we're going to give them everything we got. But even as good as he was, it wasn't enough to close the gap, really.
Yeah. And Niall, if they're in with shouts of all earned contentions, getting your first point of the game from play just the extra time in the first half is just not good enough.
Was that what it was?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm not reading too much into Derry, just the way things were. When you're missing, they're kind of a team, they've been so reliant on their main men that, you know, they need them, and I'm not writing them off yet.
But instead, like, Dublin are still missing players. Do you know, like Paul Mannion, Stephen Clarkson, James McCarthy,
Mick Fitzsimons.
Mick Fitzsimons. Not bad players, boys. You know, when they come into the team, it's just. And then, like, I think depth is what won them the All-Ireland last year. The players coming off the bench, James McCarthy and things. Or Jack McCarthy, sorry. Crazy stuff. Like, it's really scary.
That David O'Hanlon save, it looked like he was going to get lobbed. That was that was incredible as well. Yeah. Fair play to him.
It was. Yeah, everyone was willing it to go into, unless you're a Dublin fan, obviously. Because we all love to see it. You love to see the keeper get caught out. And like, we're all there
a few times this weekend.
It was the same with Roscommon. Andy Smith took one and Colin Reid.
In the Cork game as well.
Did it?
His wasn't quite as good. I think he
Colin Reid,
more of it.
He just played a bit. He could have caught it. Like.
Yeah, he could definitely have caught it, but he had to do like the big phew.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but no, Hanlon, he really did. He was stretched within an inch of his life and he got the fingertips too. Do you think it was going in?
It could have been going wide, actually. Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Like, I mean, he got the hand. He obviously thought it was in danger anyway.
I say he didn't know.
He's just desperately sprinting. Yeah. I kind of wish that I went in. Because the game would have really lifted then.
Yeah, we're going to find out how good the boys are as NFL punters, but how good do you think the GAA keepers are if you compare them to soccer keepers at actual shot stopping? I don't think they're actually that amazing at stopping shots. You rarely see a GAA keeper make an outstretched dive. It's always into the hands, bundle up, or like you see that seems to have shot and goal and it's in.
It's funny how like shot stopping isn't like a big part of their
just kickouts
job.
Yeah.
Literally, like then it's running out with the ball.
It's a block from far out. Like that's how they see it.
Who would be the best? Like who?
I think Niall Morgan's brilliant at it. To be fair, one on one and stuff. Like he makes himself big. I was just going to make a point that none of them are actually goalkeepers. They're all outfield players that could shift it in the nets. You know, that's the modern keeper. But I'd say Morgan's fantastic at it. But like, if you're going to pick a goalkeeper on goalkeeping ability, not counting kickouts or anything, it's always the high ball you judge them on, isn't it? Because if you can't deal with that, then you're going to cause problems.
I think actually the Cork footballers brought in, I can't remember his name now, but one of the underage keepers under 19 or 20s from Cork City. So they're definitely something they're looking at as well.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
Galway plus they're going to have the kick-out distribution as well, maybe in a different way, obviously, but yeah, it's going to be something different. Yeah.
Sean Patton played soccer.
Yeah.
And the Galway fella, Connor Sweeney, isn't
it? Is it Sweeney?
Yeah, I think it's Connor Sweeney.
Well, either way.
I'm going to Google his name here.
But Patton, for sure, he's one of them goalkeepers, they don't really come out the field. They're very much traditional, nearly, still, if you can call it that.
Some boot with ball, Patton.
Yeah, it is. He puts it over the midfield.
Connor Gleeson,
is it?
Yeah.
I should have just backed myself and said that.
Yeah. Another big talking point out of the game, Lee Gannon's hammer. Looked serious enough one night.
Oh, lads, that was... He could barely limp. Like, he was... Yeah. Could put barely any weight on it. Like, and a hamstring... Like, you see Noel McLaughlin, he was able to walk off the pitch. Not too bad. Gannon's looked really serious. Especially the way he went down. It looked like he nearly tripped. Like, and when that's a hammer... I felt for him now. Lads, the amount of lads doing hammers is scary. Yeah. Scary.
Is there something doing in the way they're training or something? There's something. Like that, it's a constant injury in the GA.
There's something happening.
Time of year as well. Like, you know, as in ground, literally the ground and the weather.
Heavy,
it's cold.
You're tired.
Yeah. And he was covering some ground as well.
Killian Burke and Dylan Gainey both missed, couldn't play for Kerry because of hamstrings.
Mm.
McLaughlin obviously pulled it. You see lads pull it early on when you're not warmed up, but Gannon and McLaughlin were both late on.
Yeah,
that's probably fatigue, like, isn't it?
Yeah, you can only put it down to that. The hamstring's on its last legs, and he's went for a little dart.
Isn't it mad? All the strength and conditioning, and you do all this prehab.
You can't bulletproof it.
You can't.
It's something you wonder they're doing wrong in the gym as well, and all these fitness programs and stuff. Yeah. It just seems such a constant within the GA.
Yeah, it's just because we talked about it in the hurling. Remember Stephen Bennett, Jake Morris?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone else did it on the same weekend. It was Robbie O'Flynn, like. And it's not getting any better. We've lads in the club pulling hamstrings. Like, do you know, it's such a nightmare of an injury too, isn't it, the hammer?
You know, and when you watch them go down, then your own heart breaks for them. Like, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. You say, oh, because no one wants to see that.
You got the sense with that one that... There's a fair chunk of that season gone, if not the whole thing.
And the way the season is at the minute, you're going to miss a good bit
of it.
Hopefully
not.
We'll talk a bit about Roscommon Mayo now. Roscommon 9 points, Mayo 15. Roscommon reaped the rewards. Nice old pun there I had for myself.
I'm liking this, man. good form here.
O'Shea giving the talking gesture to the crowd. Would you be in favour of players giving stick back to the fans?
I love it. I'm all for it.
What was his point there? Like?
Said you're talking too much about him.
I don't know.
He must have done it to the crowd, but it's the home crowd, isn't it? I mean,
it was probably something shouted at him.
I'd say it might have been just something shouted on the day. Like.
And you wouldn't say you do it to like an opposition player. You would just say it. You know, that shut you up. You know, you wouldn't actually go as far as doing the mimicking with your hands. But you know, I was, as soon as we seen it on the, like, it was the TG Kaha replay sort of thing, I was like, did he just do the you talk too much gesture?
Yeah.
Proper from the Premier League playbook. Like, yeah.
Would you be in favour of an old shush?
Oh, I love a shush.
A Buffy and a shush.
Yeah. Anyone, shush. Knee slide shush, put the hands, really? Cut the ears. Yeah. Like, I'm all for
Ryan
it.
Ryan O'Neill did the Rashford one.
Oh, yeah.
Did see after that. Last week.
He used to do John Cena as well.
He did that once, yeah.
Do you think there's not enough celebrations in the GA when there's a goal? But there's no time to, because the goalkeeper's just going
to... To be fair, he only scored a point, and I think it's his first point of the league.
Right. In general,
imagine he got a goal, you know,
like, but here it was a brilliant point.
McCluskey gave it a big one there for Derry.
He did, yeah. He did a little skip and hop, you know, and let people know.
Should they have like a, you know, 15-20 second grace period where they can just do whatever they want?
Oh,
like.
Yeah, well, we made the point before. I think we had Alan Brogan on the show, and we were saying that they should actually do a throw-in instead of a kick-out after a goal, and then that way everyone sets up again, because you can't celebrate too long, because they'll just do a quick kick-out and you're caught out. But if you do a throw-in, then it gives people time to, they can do all their childish demonstrations and stuff. It's the one fault I have on Conor Callaghan. He scores a goal and it's like he's depressed about it, you know.
Sorry for doing that.
I should have scored it earlier. So if he would just give a wee fist bump or something, I'd love him even more than I already do.
Ryan O'Donoghue in this game, how incredible was he? 6 points now, 3 from freeze, but 3 from play.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say he's my player of the league so far. Genuinely, I think he's been outstanding, especially when you consider the fact that Mayo haven't been outstanding. You know, they've been getting over games, doing some things well in flashes. But Ryan O'Donoghue has been the one consistent up front, and you really, really noticed his absence when he didn't start against Tyrone last week. Bringing him straight back into the fold this week, and it's like he never left. When he broke onto the team, it was sort of when Killian O'Connor picked up that injury, and he had to take on the freeze and things. And people are like, he's doing well, but when Killian O'Connor comes back, he's not. He's going to lose his place. But he's grabbed that and he's held on to it, and he's undoubtedly the main man up front now. You know, and now Killian O'Connor's the one sort of looking in from the bench.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, hasn't he? Since coming onto the team, that's probably the worry with Mayo, that they're too reliant on him now.
Yeah,
that, you know, it's if O'Donoghue isn't, he's just always positive. He's such a positive player. He's always looking for a score, and if he doesn't kind of make the, you know, if he doesn't make a few inroads in a game, you're a little bit worried, like, because I was listening to Cora Staunton yesterday, and she was saying, you know, we're not getting enough out of Tommy Conroy, and she's probably right. Mm-hmm. Like, and Fergal Boland has impressed, but in terms of like a lad who looks like he's going to get a goal, like, it's probably O'Donoghue flying the flag,
just making anything happen from nothing.
Makes things
that's
happen.
O'Donoghue,
yeah.
Yeah, wins his own ball. He's brilliant.
Did you see Mick Stay's comments after the game, where he was like, basically, he seemed to don't want to be in the league final.
No,
what is coming out of every camp at the moment?
Yeah.
I think Paddy Clifford in his post match presser after the Kerry game saying, "We'll see what management say about going on for the next win.
We'll see what the boys want to do."
Yeah. Like, do you want to win a game?
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
We'll see if they want to win.
That's the problem with the league. No one actually wants to be in the final. The final's actually a hindrance for you, for your championship hopes.
Well, it's the only league in the world that has a league final. Like, why is there a final?
Yeah,
I mean, most leagues, you finish the league in top or second or whatever.
It would be a nice occasion if it wasn't so soon, the championship wasn't so quick after.
If you got at least 2 weeks, then I think, definitely. And it would be a nice occasion, and you could see, and you know, lifting a trophy in Croke Park and getting that opportunity is always
a
really good
thing. Classics down through the years, like. Yeah. But it's just,
yeah. It's a bit of a damn squib, though, is it? Like, when you lift the trophy, it's like, all right, bigger fish to fry here, though.
You only got it because Mayo aren't trying, Dublin aren't trying. You know, like, there's a little bit of an element to that. But Derry are certainly going for it, so they'll probably end up there. Mayo are trying to avoid it, so they'll probably avoid it. Do you know, it's weird how they can actually decide, you know, whether they'll be there or not. But yeah, it's definitely an issue in the schedule at the minute.
Yeah, we're full of puns here now again. It's when we have a new segment here on the GA, our Take Your Point, right? Gerard Burns is, of course, the new GA president. And I asked the two boys to figure out two things that he needs to do. Now, Lee, I've asked you two things that he needs to do for football.
Yeah.
What are they?
Well, the main thing that he needs to do is integrate the GAA and the LGFA. That it's like, it's so outdated the way that things are going at the minute, and that they can't match up the schedules, and the way camogie games are clashing with ladies football games, and there's no bond at all between the ladies football team and the men's football team at county level. And I know they're talking about disintegration, but it's in the works, but it'll be under Jarlath Burns' reign whether it's successful or not. So he needs to get that sort of nailed down, hopefully quickly, but
I think they will,
as functional, functioning as properly as possible, because it could just enhance the sport for everyone so much more. And the other thing is, he needs to remove the advanced mark, because I can't find a single advocate for it. Mickey Hart came out at the weekend, and he was saying, before the weekend, and he was saying, we don't need rule changes, like, you know, I just let the game evolve and whatever. He's always been against rule changes. But even he then said, we'll maybe look at the advanced mark, though. Like, even he's,
but like, it's like, let's get rid of it. Still there.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know.
Would you
just get rid of it.
Two points for a point. You get it over the bar. Sorry, from a mark.
From no, I would not be in favor of that.
two points for what? For
kicking them over the bar from a mark.
No.
Jeez, no. I think the mark, you're rewarding them too softly for nothing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Is it the only rule that? Is anyone a fan of that rule?
I haven't heard anybody. Every manager you've asked, they're like, they need to get rid of it.
Every
what's it
player.
For? Even the players that take advantage of it are like, I don't really want to do it. But like, obviously, we're going to try to make the most out of it when it's there.
I interviewed Damien Comer, and it's made for him. Like,
yeah,
and he was like, get it out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants it.
Even he has to take the mark. So he wins the ball handy enough, and he has to take the mark. And that's like the logical thing to do, so we can do it. But if he didn't have that option, then he'd have to put the head down, turn and drive at the defenders. And sure, that's the excitement, and that's what he would want to do anyway.
There was one point this weekend, I think it was end of Hessian, and you were just like, that is not, does not deserve a score. Like, someone just kicked the ball 10 yards into him, or it has to be 20 yards, but like,
yeah, but it's like a cross field, so they get around it. It's mad. It is mad. I know. So Jarlath Burns, get rid of the advance mark.
Niall, what do you need to sort out in the hurling?
Well, I suppose there's a lot to sort out in the hurling, and like we've probably seen that earlier in the year with the, you know, when that came in about the five counties and that they were going to be taken out of the league, and like that was just thankfully it was shouted down at the time, like, but that's the overall problem in hurling, like, is that, you know, we see the Munster Championship and like it's so good and there's so many great days out in that, but I suppose while it's great up at the top, like it's not great down at the lower tiers, like. And I seen Michael Verney had a tweet up that a picture of all the coaches in Connacht GA, and of all them, there was no hurling coach like a GDO say outside of Galway. Like, mm-hmm. So that's just the problems that you have. We need to. There are obviously some counties who are making headway, Dan, and like you'd see this as a Corkman, the likes of you know, Kerry, Antrim, Westmeath, Carlow. Like, these are decent hurling counties with some very good players. But they just need to be, the same goes for Laois, like they just need more, they need huge support really, like in terms of getting more GDOs in, more money, good people in there making the decisions for them. Like I was interviewing Chris Nolan from Carlow last week, and he talked about, I asked him like, what is it, because they're going to be in the Leinster Championship this year. Take Westmeath there, they're going okay, they're in the league this year. Like, these counties they're not far off. And I asked him, what do you need? Like, and he was just saying, you just need maybe more coaches involved in underage and so on. And that's what
I suppose you were relying on from the likes of a Cork lad or Tip lad moving to those areas and then getting involved in coaching rather than it growing organically though.
Exactly, yeah. Like I have a buddy who plays for Louth Hurlers, and we even seen that your man that was in the Sunday game, he came up from St Mullins in Carlow, and there's a few lads from Kilkenny in their club who are kind of driving it on, and I suppose that's a good point. That's what you need. And yeah, just I suppose when they have a good day, then like maybe when Laois beat Dublin a few years ago, to capitalise on that. And do you know,
was that one point or was it the two?
No, I think it was only one, but that'll do, will it?
Jeez, so that's a good one now, in fairness to you though. We're like Micheál and we're hearty. We'll go in for the banana and the cup of tea at halftime now. And at second half, we'll be back with Kerry, Tyrone and all the rest of the minnows.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, welcome back to part two here on the GAA Hour. Kerry versus Tyrone. Lee, I'll start with you here. This was a feisty one.
Yeah.
How was it watching on as a Tyrone man?
It was tough, yeah. I was actually really enjoying it in the opening. Was it like 15 minutes or something? I thought Tyrone came out really well, looked good. Full of confidence after the win against Mayo. And then a fight sort of started. Like, Kerry did what Tyrone are known for doing, I would say. You know, starting a row, get the crowd on board. And then they flipped it on the head. They, like, out-Tyrone. You know? It was a weird thing to see. David Clifford's a lucky man, though. I really, really
talk about flipping things on the head when he judo throwed. Yeah. One of the Tyrone boys, Derek. That was dangerous enough when he got away with it.
But the fact he didn't get a yellow, I wouldn't even have been calling for a red, but you know, whoa, chill out. You know, like, and Darmonian got a yellow.
He was so confused. He was just there looking. I've never seen a man so bemused. Like, he was like, what is this for?
How it all started was Conn Kilpatrick called a mark, did a brilliant catch. Yeah. I mean, the linesman, he caused a lot of confusion. Did he say it was out? or something, and Colm was turned into him, like, wait, how's it not a mark? Like, what's going on? And then that's for some reason really annoyed David.
Clifford wanted the ball off. You know the way when lads hold onto the ball when it's a free? Lads get some belts when they do that, don't they? Like,
Jesus, yeah.
You in favour of them getting the belts?
I don't even.
You nearly would hold onto the ball, wouldn't you? Like,
Well, then you can't let go because you know, they try the whole hard man thing and you just succumb to it. So you're just stuck there. You're like, well, I can't give a backward step here. And then obviously a melee happens, but like the linesman has a lot to blame there.
Melees, fracases, and shots all over the place.
That's the best word, definitely. But you know, again, after that, really there was nothing in it. I do think Clifford should have got a yellow card. I don't think. I'm not too sure it's down. I see there's a whole thing, Golden Boy. You see that?
Yeah.
He doesn't get yellow cards. Yeah. I just think a lot of forwards in general don't.
There's
you know,
a bit of that, though, I think, going on.
Yeah, because of Clifford.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, you don't see Conn, you don't see Dark Yanovan. Like, I don't know. There's something about forwards in general. It's like, there's no way they were starting that. But I will say, like, and I wish someone else would say, because it sounds biased coming from me, but if it was rules reversed and Conn had done that to David, he'd have got a yellow. Like, I don't see how he wouldn't have.
You know? He's a dirty Tyrone player.
Yeah. Exactly.
Niall, what were your thoughts
sort of
on
thing.
It?
It was funny watching the row. Like, Clifford started it, and then he just, did you see him? He just ran away. He just was like, right, it's a big row here. And I think he runs away, and then he comes back and gets involved again.
Remember Carl Sweeney's shirt open, like, there was a
lot.
The kitmen wouldn't be too happy. The amount of like rags on the jersey, incredible.
Yeah, bad day to be in O'Neill's jersey. It was. Thankfully, there was no like big punches thrown. Yeah, like, you know, it was nothing too, nothing too, you know, untoward about the whole thing. So
I just honestly, I wouldn't even be advocating for Clifford getting a red. I just thought he should have got a yellow at that stage, but it inspired them more than it inspired Tyrone, you know. And then they just started kicking points for fun. Dar McCrae and Dara Canavan started hitting a couple of wides, and then you get a bit flat from that because they're your two main men, you know. And when they're scoring, everyone can sort of rally in behind. I was thankful that Tyrone managed to rally back a little bit late. They got a goal late on, which was well taken, and there are still positives to take. Like, Tyrone are in transition, there's no getting away from that. Kerry probably aren't the gold standard and what they're trying to reach. It probably is Derry and Ulster, and then next year, you know, try to develop and go further than that. But Cal McShane coming off the bench was a huge, huge plus, and seeing Matty Donnelly on the bench after that serious injury he got last summer is another massive plus. But then the flip side of that is, I think Colin Kilpatrick and Peter Hart came off with injury, so you know, what are you trading here? But a week off next week, and hopefully they can come back with a good, strong, full team and against Monaghan and avoid relegation.
Do you think it was Clifford's master plan all along to get the crowd going? And
I do think he wanted to get the crowd up. Yeah, I think they were feeling a bit flat. I think it was 3-2 at this stage or whatever, but like, Tyrone seemed to be more in control. And when a team's got momentum, you have to try and puncture that somehow. You can do it by trying to keep the ball and keep the opposition fans quiet and, you know, take the sting out of momentum, or you can get your own fans up. And if you're not sticking it over the bar, then go and give someone a dig.
The rivalry's grown year on year. The Kerry fans certainly hate Tyrone. Oh, yeah. What's your views on the Kerry boys?
I like them. I don't know
they hate you.
They really, really do. We went down to Tralee for, it was the Rose of Tralee actually a couple of years ago. Our friend was the Antrim Rose, and I was wearing like a Tyrone something, and they were coming up and they were like, God, pish football up there.
the water bottle thing went down, the stink up there as well, with the alleged water bottle incident.
And they're just telling you all the history about like everything the Tyrone have ever done wrong to them. They are so aggrieved about the naughties, but they need to chill out, like, you know.
How do the Sunday game not show the scrap? They didn't show the Aidan O'Shea talking thing. But like, how do you not? The one thing everyone wants to talk about and see, basically, and they don't even show it.
Yeah, what is that about? Like, I mean, jingers a legality reason behind it, in that these guys are,
I don't know, is it just trying to protect the image of the sport, or I doubt there's legality.
Well, the thing is, they did it and they knew they were on TV. So
TG Carr tweeted it out anyway.
Yeah, you can only
TG Carr, don't give a shit.
You can trust TG Carr. Yeah, they get all the best bits.
So I suppose, isn't that the sign of a, like, how important it is to be playing at home? Like, how Kerry kicked on after that it was just, you know,
no, absolutely,
the home
yeah.
crowd is with them. And
David was struggling before that, and then obviously he didn't have the best day out against Dublin.
Yeah.
But then he was like a man possessed.
He didn't
from
actually
that
miss
point.
A shot yesterday. He played from eight.
Unbelievable stuff. And then he had that free kick sort of at the end. I think it brought it to 4 points. And you just, even though it was a difficult free kick, there was just no question that he was going to put it over the bar.
He was kicking so well. Yeah.
The inevitability that you feel when you're watching him, and then he does put it over the bar, and you're just like, "What do you do with that man? Like, what are you meant to do?" He's different level.
Shawnee O'Shea got a rugby tackled as well at one point.
I didn't see
that. That's creeping into the game a fair bit as well.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. It's another sort of.
Is there anything they can do there to just like? Are you sending a lad off for that? Like a full on rugby tackle, or what are you doing?
Black card. It should be a black card, shouldn't it?
Well, it's Senegal, surely.
It's like they're one on one on goal, though, isn't it?
But they could get, you get a black card for like a pull down kind of a thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the problem. It's so subjective, the black card, and like the rules just aren't clear, and it's open to interpretation. So like, they wonder why there's rows every single week when it comes to it.
Yeah.
Do you think Canavan is the most in-form player at the moment? He's a fourth top scorer in general, but is the top scorer from play with 113 to his name. Cons in second on 210, Clifford in third on 110.
Yeah, well, that's the one that matters, you know, top scorer from play. Like, you can pad out a record with your freeze and stuff. He's a special, special talent. See the way he plays football as well. It's like, you know, he dies for the ball. You know, he isn't just a flashy player. He really gives it everything. I was at Healy Park last weekend when they played Mayo, and there was in the first half it was so depressing watching them. They came out in the second half and it was brilliant, but Dar was the only shining light, and there was just one ball that came to him long, and he caught it like and fell to the floor, and on the roll lost possession, fobbled it with his hands to keep it out of possession of the Mayo defender, back in, and then jumped up again, and it was just, the whole crowd was just, oh jeez, oh, stop it, you know, like they were just crazy stuff. So yeah, and like, I mean, he's certainly up there himself. Shane McGuigan, David Clifford and Conor Gallagher are probably top four.
And Clifford are they're great to watch with. They always kind of have a smile on their face, and they seem to kind of enjoy.
Well, David didn't yesterday. No.
Yeah, yeah. But he's still kind of, even after out, you'd see himself and Hampsey, they'd be kind of laughing and joking. Like, you know, it's probably a lesson to players that you see Clifford and Canavan, they don't be like overly serious. They're kind of just they seem to enjoy all that, the talk and the bit of crack that goes with it. Like,
yeah, and it makes it more enjoyable to watch as well. Yeah, doesn't it?
Like, you love watching those too, like having the smile on their face during the game. I think it's great to watch.
Yeah.
In the last of the Division 1 games, Monaghan 14 points, Galway 3-12. We said it last week. Well, I said anyway, Monaghan are going down. It's absolutely confirms it in my mind anyway. Niall, do you agree?
It looks like it. I'd be slow to completely write them off just for how many times they've burned us before.
I've relegated them the last 4 years.
On the last day, and they stay up. But you'd have to say that they're going worse than they probably ever have in the last few years anyway. This year, it doesn't look good for them. I think they were a bit unlucky now yesterday, because they started that game well, and the two goals, the first one came after Andrew Woods' black card, which was an absolute disgrace as far as I can see. He just stood his ground, and Robert Finnerty is trying to be cute, runs into the back of him and kind of makes a bit of a meal of it, and the ref gives, Barry Cassidy gives a black card, which was nowhere near a black card. Andrew Woods just stood his ground. Then Finnerty takes the free, bounces, hits the post, bounces out, and scrappy goal. They probably should have dealt with it better. The first goal was similar. Ryan O'Toole was caught out from a long ball in. But the third one was a blatant square ball from Keane Darcy. And like, that's two goals shutting account. So
when your luck's going against you and you're not getting that rub of the green, you know, it feels like a relegation scrap, doesn't it? It feels like it's just not going to be our year to stay up. Monaghan play Tyrone next 2 weeks, and that'll be really, if Tyrone win that, then they'll stay up and all but doom Monaghan. Yeah. But if Monaghan win their next two games, I think it brings them to 6 points, and everyone always says 6 points is safe. People have went down with it before, but you know, it's still there in their hands. And
there was all this hype about Vinnie Corey. Do you think he's just fallen flat this year?
I don't think so. I think it'd be harsh because of the injuries that they had. Like, losing Rory Beggins, massive. Conor McManus, when he came in, he came off the bench there. That's his first appearance this season. That's huge.
That third goal was poor. Not to slate a goalkeeper coming in.
Yeah, but that's it. You know, and there's already so much attention on him and a spotlight on him purely because Beggins not available anymore. Yeah. But, you know, Vinnie Corey, like, he's got a lot of credit in the bank given what he did last year, keeping them up and the run they made to the All-Ireland semi-final. And they've sort of always been like a slow burner of a team anyway, you know, gradually getting better and progressing into the championship. So they wouldn't be too massively worried. And a season in Division 2 won't do them any harm either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can look at Derry and Dublin last year. they were probably one of the two favourites to win it this year. And they
Cork
were,
down there, sure, it's not all bad. Yes, you know,
Cork will be really hopeful to stay in Division 2.
I actually heard, I was listening to Sunday Sport on the radio, and it's a great one when you're driving because they have people in every ground. But Brian Hurley was interviewed after the game, and he said, "We've played in Division 1 a number of years, and it's nearly easier there. Everyone's out to get you in Division 2," he says.
Well, and going by like Mayo and Kevin McStay, you're like, oh no, you know, you don't get games like that in Division 2. You want to get up, you know.
Yeah.
You have to get promoted. So it is a bit cutthroat probably in the lower
sometimes
divisions.
A bad start to the year. You don't want to be going like Kildare bad, but sometimes things can turn around quickly and you can get stale if you're going well the whole time. Like, so yeah. I wouldn't, they could have a good Ulster Championship yet. Like, and the same goes for Roscommon. In the Championship.
Yeah, yeah, they're not relegated yet, but yeah, no. It's looking at, and like Galway aren't safe. That's the next bit. They got two tough games.
Kerry and Dublin.
Yeah, Joyce had a smile in his face after, I think he.
Yeah.
I think he was feeling relatively happy about it. Like,
well, it's a 4-point swing, isn't it, against the relegation.
And I mean, two goals within 3 minutes, and then ultimately that became three within nine. So
yeah, it just
the game was over
it.
Then
yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
Speaking about the Rory Began NFL stuff. Some of the NFL Combine was on last night, where Charlie Smith, Rory Began and Mark Jackson competed. Charlie Smith, the down goalkeeper, he kicked 12 from 16. That's a fair old fair going now. Rory Began kicked 11 from 16, and Mark Jackson kicked 10 from 16, the Wicklow goalkeeper. None of them missed from under 35 yards. Smith was inches wide, apparently, from 60 yards out, which is a huge distance.
That's insane, isn't it?
Began was very close, apparently, as well, from the same distance. But both Began and Jackson both nailed one, apparently, from the 55, which is a fair whack out now, in fairness. And there seems to be from the scouts is that they're just impressed by the build of the lads as well, because I suppose most of the guys going for kicking are just scrawny, just out of college. They've never played any other position besides kicking, so they don't need to be built. But these lads are just on another level, really. Do you think they have a shot of getting signed to the NFL?
Yeah, I really do. Like, I think the most surprising thing is that no one is really surprised when you hear those stats and how well keepers like that are doing. And you mentioned the Wicklow keeper. That's another. We talked about Began and the gap that he leaves for Monaghan. Is it Jackson you call him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the same for Wicklow. Like, they're really struggling. I think they conceded five goals.
I think he's at the weekend. Second keeper to get over 100 points, I think, from threes or something like that.
Yeah, you know, so offensively as well, like, you know, what he brings that team in. Wicklow, Ashley McConville's
really struggling.
Struggling. It's a massive loss to them. So that just shows how important they are to the team as a whole. And then if you're just going to isolate it to their kicking abilities, like, you always knew they were going to do pretty well. And genuinely just not surprised.
Yeah,
the standard of kicking from the goalkeepers is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, you see them, watching a few of them over the weekend, Colm Reap, these boys, they just take, what, 2-3 steps back and make it look so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Jack Crowley in the rugby was getting 12 from 16, like you were saying, he's doing well enough,
exactly.
In fairness.
Yeah.
Move on to a bit more football now, actual Gaelic football. Cork, 2-12, Kildare, 3-9. The relegation four-pointer in Division 2. The first half, I was there. It was absolutely terrible. One of the most atrocious halves of football I've just seen in general. And he had 2 points after 15 minutes. I think Brian O'Driscoll had the two of them. The most entertaining thing about, honestly, there's a bunch of 11-year-olds. One side Kildare, one side Cork, just throwing food at each other the whole time. Like, there was one point, they start getting really heated, lads. At one point, they start getting chips and they start dipping them in sauces and then flaking them at each other.
Was this in the stand?
This was in the stand. The Kildare lads were like, thought they were on some Green Street, like away day or something. Like, they were giving it the big one. And then they started doing terrible in the match. So the Cork lads had started having to go back. And then it ended up with them throwing food at each other. They could find sweet. There was wine gums flying left, right, and centre.
Was anyone caught in the crossfire, like adults or something like that?
They were right next to him. They didn't give a bollocks. I was like, what are you doing? Like, how would you not even know this is going on behind you? Or else they did and was like, that's not my kid. I don't give a shit.
The parents these days.
They're lucky though, because some adults might get, you know.
Exactly. But one kid was there, he was there with a bottle ready to flake it at some of that, and then his friend took it off him. But like, he was going to throw it. I was like, Jesus, could kick off here inside to be a riot inside in the park. Super value park, you gave.
Yes. So you missed all the goals then? You were watching this?
No, I was just watching.
It was goals.
Cork, absolutely different team in the second half. We're talking about last week, clearly roaring head off him at half time. I'd say that's what happened again, because they just woke up in that second half. Did you see any of it?
Yeah, they got the Tommy Walsh got the goal for them before half time, and
it was a huge one,
huge goal. Like, it's always they looked like they were going in trailing at that stage, and to get a goal just before half time, like as probably one of the biggest cliches, it changes the manager's team talk a small bit, but gave Cork a huge boost. And probably for Kildare, they had got two very good goals as well from Alex Byrne and Daniel Flynn, and you know, it just took the steam away from them at half time, and it's an uphill battle for them from there. But they just seem to. I was listening to Larry Tompkins, who was he was obviously on Sunday Sport, and
he didn't go easy on him anyway.
And he's like, he'd be an ideal man, I suppose, to commentate on that game as a Kildare man played for Cork, but. Like he wasn't actually like, it wasn't like he was going on an attack. Like he was just saying it pure deadpan that this is how it is. Like Kildare have gave up. I wrote down a few of the quotes just because it was entertaining to listen to. He was like, we could just go home now. They've given up for quite a while. Cork are just strolling around. And you know, that's the way it was. Five lost from five for Kildare now. Like it's not good.
There's calls for Glenn Ryan's job. I was kind of thinking, are we become too obsessed with the Premier League? Because I'm seeing online, it's like Glenn Ryan out. It's like
It's hardly going to happen. Like, that doesn't happen really in GA. Like
it's becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Well, last year Donegal obviously ousted the manager in the league, and they did get a bounce in the championship board. And Limerick did the same with. Who was the manager? What do you call him? Is he from Mayo?
Dempsey.
Ray Dempsey. Yeah. So they did the same with him, and then they actually recovered kind of well and did a bit of a resurgence in the championship too. So like, you know, you'd hate to advocate it for sure, but like, there's, if you're not playing under this manager, if that's the reason, but it seems like there's a plethora of reasons that's wrong with Kildare at the minute. And Glenn Ryan's a legend in the game, so you can't play under him. Then who are you going to play for? Like, you,
and
so,
Johnny Dial and Andy Rainbow and.
Like, I mean, they're like the biggest names from Kildare. You know, who could you be prouder to play under if you're from that county? So it's just a strange one, to be fair. I think a few players maybe probably need to look at themselves in the mirror before you go pointing the finger at Glenn Ryan. But the whole manager thing probably is coming into a little.
From an outside point of view, do you think Cork are safe now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it might be.
From our point of view, you're thinking Armagh probably don't feel their strongest team in the last game.
Yeah.
Because they'll be looking ahead for the final if they want to win it.
Exactly, and I assume they will be. It'll probably be them and Donegal, probably.
Yeah.
Or certainly looking that way. Cork's just such a strange one because I do think they're a brilliant football team when they're going. They're always like indecisive with the starting lineup too. Is Stephen Sherlock injured, or why was he on the bench?
I don't know what's going on there.
Sometimes he starts, he scores the points. The other day they take him off, or he doesn't.
He was
start.
Injured there for a long time, and then he's just kind of been brought in as a super sub, but he just doesn't get any time to make an impact on the game really.
And he's always swapped either on or off for Brian Hurley, so you can never have them both on the pitch, like as if there's something really wrong with having your two prolific forwards.
Cleary has to start doing that now.
Yeah, I think so. I think because they're different sorts of players as well. You know, Hurley's really direct, he likes to make things happen. Sherlock's more of a sharpshooter, gunslinger kind of player, and you know, with them both up front, and they like Sean Powder and stuff making, you know, the work around the middle. Then
Sean Powder's on the bench again. Like, I can't figure out that one either.
Yeah, he's always been pretty injury prone, unless they're minding him for something that.
Maybe.
But other than that, he should be in that starting 15.
You'll
unleash
him all now in the semi final against Kerry, and we'll win Munster and get in through there.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll wake up.
They had a few lads. Was Sean, we'll Sean Meehan came back from injury, did he?
I think he did.
And Conor Corbett obviously got a goal. Larry Tompkins was bigging him up. He was saying that, you know, he has the potential to be one of the best forwards in the country. Like, would you go along with that he has great potential?
I'm sure he has great potential. One of the best forwards in the country is a fair stretch with the lads we were listening off earlier there, your Conor Callan, Sliffords, Canavans, like, so we'll see. Time will only tell. Cork, we're not going anywhere too fast anyway, so we'll just see where we are come the end of the year. And as long as, geez, if we got to another quarter final, I think everyone in Cork would be absolutely delighted with that, to be honest, especially from where we are now. A few things, sorry,
that's just because, like, if Cork do get relegated, like, how many Munster teams are in the All-Ireland then? Because they'll go in the Tailteann Cup.
It'd be Kerry, wouldn't it?
Is that just one?
Oh, it's one, yeah. And like, Cork are playing Kerry in the semi-final
as well.
Yeah, so they can make it to the final. So relegation just means that Munster don't have representation in the All-Ireland outside of Kerry.
Yeah.
Which is... That's seriously worrying things.
Kildare, actually, they're on the opposite side of the draw to Dublin. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. Yeah. So that might be...
Yeah, they could save themselves.
But the way they're going, they'll struggle against a Westmead or whoever they have.
It's true,
The way things are going. So.
Other results around the grounds. Donegal won 17, allowed 15 points. Fermanagh 11 points, Armagh 15 points. Looks like they're home and hosed anyway. In Division 3, Antrim 9, Westmeath 13, Offaly 5-15, Wicklow 10 points. I mean, Jesus, as you're saying there, they seriously are in trouble.
They're missing that goal.
Down 2-17, Sligo 1-8. Tip in round 4, 16 points to Waterford's 1-13. Longford 1-16, Leitrim's 13 points.
Yeah. Division 4 is, it's wide open there. Like, if Carlow had a great win last week, and then they go down and get hammered by Wexford this week, and they're all kind of beating each other, and you think Leitrim are going for promotion, and then they lose two in a row and could even be three in a row. So it's a dog eat dog place there in Division 4. They're all very even, except for Leash.
Division 4, Leash 2-12, London 9 points, Carlow 7, Wexford 1-14, Division 3 was Limerick 14, Clare 1-16, and then Division 2, the last game, Cavan, Meath, Boucherou. That'll probably suit them a draw, I think.
Probably.
They'd probably suit them both.
Well,
probably,
yeah, Cavan would have wanted to win because they could have kept the pressure on.
On getting into that final, but so. I don't think any county's too fussed about getting into that final, though. But
you see, but Donegal and Armagh now look fairly home and hose for that, don't they?
At this stage. And then that'll be two Ulster teams in the top division. So it's only one county or one province that has it all, boys.
We're going to go to
away, will you?
We're going to go to our last segment here on the GA Hour. It is player problems. Now, we asked the people, the good people of the GA Hour, what is your biggest GAA ick? Lads, is there anything that sticks out for you here that you have in mind for this one?
Yeah, the no socks or the ankle socks, that drives me insane. I just can't look at it. Gives me anxiety watching people wear them. You're going to get blisters on your heels. Like, I don't know why people do it. And I can't stop watching them when they do.
You've been a foot fetish.
I don't know what's up with it. Like, leave them alone, lads.
Niall, do you have a particular ick?
People say the word ick. that's my ick.
I couldn't think of any other word for it, really.
That's my ick. Can't take one. I'll listen to a few of the ones there. I'm sure you have a few good ones coming in here. So
Sean comes in, white boots. Yes. Oof. Or no?
I have a pair of weights, to be fair.
Man, I love it, man. Yeah. Fair play to you. If you're able to wear white boots.
I was 12 or 13, I had pink boots. Or purple boots.
Yeah.
But they've came around
they've
now. They're
really
fashionable
come
now.
Around, like, yeah. And yeah. It's not even a thing anymore.
I was before my time in that one. Yeah. Declan Walsh comes in and says, Azuri helmets.
Yeah, they're just...
Don't TJ Reid wears one?
He does, yeah. One of very few now. I can't think of anyone else really who wears them.
He has another biggest ick of all with the socks up. You're not in the 80s wearing the socks up.
Suits him. Suits on that. Ian McGuire there as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He loves that.
He does. Walter Walsh as well.
Walsh, yeah.
Not a reason not to like him.
man, sound man, Wally.
Ronan comes in, shorts up their hole.
Yeah, it's a Darren McCurry classic. He loves that.
A hot pants look.
I actually don't like that when himself McBrearty throwing the short.
Oh, they
talk to
Ronaldo.
Shorts are just very short
anyway.
In general.
Yeah. No, I think back in the day it used to be you'd want the biggest shorts to hide your hole, but no.
Someone who needs a bit of a creep like or something. Cullum Hackett comes in, long socks. And then Anna Murray follows it up, long socks or no socks. No socks.
Yeah, well, that would freak me out completely.
Oh, Jesus, Anna.
I've just lost the run of
games
myself.
Games is
there.
She watching.
A search comes in. People who wear their gum shields in the dressing room or in the car on the way there. Do they do that?
I can't get them to wear it on the pitch. I don't know where they're wearing it in the car. Unless you forget to take it out. I can't. That's bizarre.
I've never seen this before. It must be the most junior C thing of all time. Bobby says, odd gloves. I've never seen a lad to
you obviously
wear.
You had one and you're borrowing another one maybe.
Or maybe they're just meant to be like black and white or something. I don't know what he particularly means by odd gloves.
Oh, there maybe is designs now where they are different colours. Maybe they do different coloured boots. It's that, but yeah, no, a strange one to be fair.
Darrow O'Neill, anklet, socks or boots again, as you're saying.
People have
Lynch,
spoken.
Hand passing the ball over the bar is a big ick for him. Would you agree with that?
Yeah,
Chinkish, get rid of that altogether.
Would they end up just booting it then, you know, like instead of taking the goal? But if they get rid of it altogether, there would be probably more of an incentive to go for goal, and then that would ultimately make the game work.
I'd say players wouldn't like it if it was taken away from them because it's a big get out of jail.
There's certain players too that made careers off it as well. And and I'm not being derogatory, but like if you think of like Michael Dara McCauley, who drives in at such pace, like bursting through, man, and in his last act when he's close enough is to like dive forward in a big lunge with a big fist.
Because when you're going straight, it can be hard to get the angle to shoot. Like
exactly, yeah. It's, you know, so he maybe he wouldn't, his scores would definitely be a lot lower if there was no fist at point. But yeah, take it out. Like, why? It's not too big a skill.
Cillian O'Connor took one at the weekend there, and like the game was, there were 4 or 5 points up. And yeah, like, come on.
I think he just wanted to get
sure
on.
He'd go for a goal as well.
And
all that.
Just so keen to get on the scoreboard from play, probably. You know, coming off the bench, but yeah.
But Bino May comes in. People wearing jerseys outside of Ireland. It's like, oh, look at me. I'm Irish. I want to identify myself as such. So someone comes up to me and says, hi. Do you reckon that's a thing?
No, I think I do that. It's not something I ever thought of. Like, you know, you just have so much of the stuff. But sure, no one will know if you're like in a foreign country or something. No one will know.
Yeah, but it's like you're doing it so you attract the attention of other Irish people.
Of other Irish people, yeah. Is that why they do that?
Oh, I feel like waving this, a flag? For some people, yeah.
You wouldn't wear that lovely Cork jersey abroad?
I'd wear it anywhere. I'd wear it in the bedroom.
You'd definitely get attention wearing that.
The only place for it, like.
In the dark.
It glows up.
Oh, I don't know. That didn't seem like a problem for me, but now I am conscious of it.
You're walking
ick.
Yeah.
Niall, wearing jerseys abroad. It's a bit of a look at me moment.
It's kind of come up and chat to me, isn't it?
Yeah, it is such like some old lad hoping. Oh, like, someone talks about Cavan football.
Yeah, that's it.
Shea Cunningham comes in. People pretending to be injured after they got taken off. Is that a thing?
Yeah, sometimes you'd see if a lad's taken off, he might limp just to make the crowd.
I see boys when they hit a wide, then they hold their hamstring or their calf or something. And they're
And then you probably do it a few times to get the habit of it then.
You know, and they sort of, it's observant.
The bean boil comes in and goes, not being able to pay at the gate with cash as everyone uses bank cards.
Yeah, what's that about? Like,
You have to add it to your wallet now as well, which is really annoying.
They're just that's annoying. Like,
especially if you're like, you are an older person, you might have a terrible phone. You might not have a wallet.
But everyone says that, but like, I'm not an older person and I'm struggling. Like,
well, I actually wouldn't have known. I got it at the weekend, but like, I wouldn't have known how to add something to my wallet before.
I've never had to do it before. And then like, was it at Hilly Park we were at? Like, just the certain area, you know, if you don't do it beforehand, if you're well prepared and not like me, but you show up and you're like, oh, now I need to sort this, and you don't get the 4G or anything to sort of download it.
And
you're just standing outside the gate with this ticket that you've paid for and you can't use it. Do you know, it's just the most unnecessarily annoying
thing.
You
can't get 4G in a match day, say in a big Munster final day, 40,000 people in the stadium next year. Not a hope you're getting any signal.
No. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Leah Scholes comes in wearing gloves on a sunny or dry day. Mm-hmm. Should not go for the extra grip anyway, no?
No, it's too grippy. It's really annoying. It's too grippy, yeah, definitely. You can't get the feel of the bounce or it comes up. Definitely you need the bare hands in that one. Or if you go to catch a ball, like especially with your bare hands, you can sort of like break it in front of you and then get it on the move. But with the glove, it kind of does genuinely like stick to your hand. It just messes up like your reactions or something. It's extra warm as well.
What about the keepers wearing the grip on the old body warmers as well? Did you see that?
No.
They have grip.
That's like an old
so they can just get it in, yeah.
Oh, right. No.
It's the modern technology now, lads.
I thought they all wear short sleeves.
Oh, the body warmers jerseys underneath.
Oh, right. Hmm. Yeah, that's, can't say it's a neck. It's on new. Yeah, I've never had it. But yeah, no, gloves and a... Why are you wearing it is the other thing. You don't trust yourself without them.
I wouldn't anyway.
Gloves.
You know, gloves, yeah.
Feels like a protection thing as well. I'd say mentally it probably helps you.
It probably does. Like, I mean, I get that when it's raining. I'm like, you know, I need gloves. Yeah. You know, but
if a lad wore gloves hurling,
right,
call it off.
If you wore TJ Reid, the TJ Reid glove, no?
Well, no, but like, do you know,
the hurling glove. the socks up to the knees.
I'm talking about woolly gloves. Imagine, like, I think I've seen someone wear woolly gloves hurling. Like, it's just
woolly gloves,
yeah, like the yellow gloves, glove with, like, the, with the grip, the old
like,
school,
you know, like just gloves, black gloves, wearing them hurling on a cold evening. Someone showed up to train and there one evening a long time ago, underage, like, but nah.
He never came back.
Never let him forget it. Jimmy Harding with the last one here. If the shorts get any smaller, they may as well not wear them at all anymore.
And I'm in favour. Let's
over the small shorts.
No, I'm joking. Just not wearing shorts. Let's go. It's too hot for gloves and too hot for shorts.
All right. For next week's player problems, we're going to ask the worst piece of GA lingo. So let's get thinking about that one.
Ooh, I've got a few.
Yeah.
Yeah,
lot, we'll save it for next week. Yeah, we'll save it for next week. So we'll let people start thinking about that one. Thanks so much for joining us on the GAA Hour. And thanks for Lee and Niall for joining me.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having
thanks
us.
For having us, Jay.
See you in the next one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.